Welcome to Omschooling for Spirituality. The Flow is a delightful mix of insight, divine inspiration, and humor, where wisdom meets earthiness to help your ongoing spiritual growth and transformation. Follow the flow of enlightenment and explore everything spiritual through the deepest self-inquiry as student Lisa Berry asks master spiritual teacher G.P. Walsh the kinds of questions you would ask an elder, a wise man, or a sage, and receive direct, simple, comprehensive, and deeply human lessons and teachings. From transcending the experience of separation, releasing old conditioned patterns and wounds, and alleviating suffering, to demystifying esoteric practices and revealing one's true purpose and innate freedom. Welcome to the flow of enlightenment. Transformation is all there is.
Welcome everyone to the flow of enlightenment. I'm so happy to be here with you, GP. As I know, you just wrapped up an hour of tapping, which I'll talk to you about in a minute. But yes, wow. Is it kind of neat stepping into the radio show after already doing that for an hour? Or is it just, it is what it is?
Well, it's fun. You know, I mean, well, I get to turn out the lights. You know, I get to take my pants off if I want. I just kind of lay back here on the couch. I don't have to be on the camera and just sit and talk. So I like it.
Oh, that's actually neat that you said that. Yes, because, yes, you've done the on camera. And then if everybody, just so I'm going to invite you right now, if you're listening, so you're, you know, Om Times Radio fan, you've been listening to us here for, I think, 15 or 16 episodes. GP has been doing 10 days of tapping, and so we still have three left, so please tune in. What you want to do is make sure you're part of the private Facebook group, so go on to GP Walsh. Actually, you know what, go to the website and message us, but otherwise find us on Facebook. It's GP Walsh Spiritual Teacher. We're gonna let you into that group, and then it's every day at 12 p.m. Eastern Time for an hour. This way you can interact, and I love what you said, GP. There's the anonymity of the chat, so If you want to call in, but you're like, oh, I don't know if I want to call in, you can always join us there. But if you do want to call in, then please do so all the way through the next hour. And the number, I'm going to give it to you guys right now, is 202-570-7057. You can always look that up as well, but it is to the Om Times radio station. And GP, today we're doing a rated R for a reality show.
Our own reality show. How about it? I always wanted to be a reality star.
We sure are. Each one of us, right?
Yeah, then I'll run for president.
Yes. The possibilities are endless.
Endless, yeah.
I'm laughing that we did our last episode on awakening, and then I was like, oh my gosh, we jumped into awakening and now we're doing reality. But I think reality is sometimes even harder to comprehend than the awakening. So
it would seem that way. Yeah.
Yeah, well, allow me to dive in then, because what I'm feeling, because I just got to spend that hour with you tapping away there, and I love that, because you really do answer so many questions. People have just like the most, like, these are questions that cause suffering, and you don't think of them as causing that. But I'm jumping into the reality thing, because I think so many questions come up about, is life real? Am I real? Does it matter? All these things. And what happens, and I would love to start here in the supportive process, supportive role. Could you share with us, like, by all definitions, a student of yours right now, for sure. And I get shaken. Like, my reality gets shaken when there's a new understanding. And can you just help everybody, as well as me, listening? What happens when there's just such a night and day experience on the conditioning and the beliefs? And what should we do? How do we do this?
Let it shake. Let the earthquake come. You know, when you build on sand, you got to expect the house to shake.
Yes.
The thing is that, you know, we've built our lives based on certain ideas and assumptions and beliefs about ourselves that really seem true. A lot of these, we started building our lives before we even knew they were beliefs, right? We inherit beliefs, systems, and assumptions from our parents and from the culture at large. We build our lives on those, with certain expectations of the way they're supposed to go. And when they don't go that way, we're kind of discombobulated. We get shaken. Well, isn't it supposed to be this way? Isn't this just the way it's supposed to work? And then when it doesn't work that way, you know, first we might, you know, blame somebody else, right? That's always handy. Right? You know, in America, it's Muslims or Mexicans or people of color. I mean, anybody except for rich white guys, right?
Yeah.
And so we can blame all these people because they're different. We don't understand them. And so we can be afraid of them. So they must be the problem. So let's build a wall, right?
Yes, yeah.
Then, you know, maybe we get a little bit more enlightened and we, you know, a little bit of self-help, and we realize we're participating in it. And then we just start, we're constantly trying to fix our thoughts and our behaviors and our actions, and we're trying to reprogram ourselves and the like. And we still haven't discovered what the actual fact is, right?
Oh.
We're still in the realm of our thoughts about it. We're simply trying to acquire new beliefs that we think are going to be more stable than the old ones.
You nailed it.
And it is,
yes,
quite debilitating. It is quite debilitating when things begin to just fall apart around you. When I was a kid, I grew up thinking, you'll always do better than your parents. Which in my case wasn't all that hard because they didn't have much.
The bar was that low?
That bar wasn't very high. But there was just this expectation of the American dream. Mm-hmm. And it started to fall apart in the 60s when the reality of the Vietnam War began to become clear. And then in the 70s with the oil crisis, which almost completely destroyed the American economy. And what saved it is we went off the gold standard and onto the oil standard, right? So the dollar was now tied to the price of oil, and that actually floated the economy. But there was a chink in the armor. There was a certain level of expectation that my parents had. I started out having, and then I didn't have it anymore. And then through the 80s, I was working as a consultant to corporations and the like, and I saw. I worked at one of the Bell companies, right? AT&T.
Oh yeah.
It's formerly AT&T. I had a contract, yes, with those guys, and I met people who were third generation Bell babies. Their father's father had worked there. Their kids were going to work there. It was like a cradle to grave kind of thing. This was the kind of stability that people had come to expect, right? Mm-hmm. Unions and the. And I watched that disappear, right?
Mm,
that
yeah.
that it just didn't exist anymore. It kept going. Now through the 90s with NAFTA, and all of a sudden people are thinking they've got a job, and it suddenly just picks up and moves to Mexico,
mm-hmm,
right? So what happened to the life that we believed was supposed to be was just kind of our due, and then it's gone. That just sends tremors through your entire system. Your whole belief system, your nervous system, has just been devastated, right?
Mm.
And we try to compensate for it, right, in all,
yeah,
sorts of different ways. And we have lots of ways of compensating now. We have lots of distractions and forms of entertainment and basically unlimited credit, right? So,
mm-hmm,
so the degradation of the underlying structure isn't as apparent because we don't want to face it. We don't,
yes,
want to,
yes,
see it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So now, let's keep with the theme of the show. What's the actual reality? Well, if it was real, it couldn't have fallen apart. Reality means that which is. It's solid bedrock. It's real. When people talk about creating my reality, they're only talking about creating an experience. You can't create reality.
Yes, I was hoping you'd hit on that one. Yeah.
Yeah. How do you create reality? It's real. It's what is. You don't create what is.
Oh,
you create
can I have just
with it? You can experience of it. Go ahead.
That's neat one because That's a bold statement. If it was real, it couldn't have fallen apart. And so right now, I'm wondering if maybe listeners or two are sitting there going, okay, so is there anything in life that is real? Because our bodies fall apart, our jobs could fall apart, our relations could fall apart, our money can, you know, everything. So I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what actually then could not fall apart?
Well, yeah, that's the external circumstances. And then look inside. You know, our emotional state can fall apart. Our thinking can fall apart. Our self-esteem can fall apart. Our personal relationships can fall apart. And we've all experienced it, right?
Yes.
Let's face it. We've all experienced it. We don't want to face it. We keep looking for some way to patch it all up or try to hold something together. But we all know deep down inside that everything we have, we can lose. We know it.
Yes.
We just
yes.
don't want to face it, right?
Yeah.
So what can't you lose?
I don't know.
The only thing you can't lose is the one thing that's been there when everything else has been lost, when everything else has come and gone. Mm. You're still there. You are the reality. You are what can't be. You're the one thing that is not subject to change. You are not the house of cards. You can build your house on sand, but you're the rock.
When you say that, it brings me right back to the very, very first question that I learned from you to ask, well, who am I? And then the direction or instructions were to self-inquire. Because when somebody says, you're there, you are the reality. And if one hasn't explored or gone in and asked and done that work and just kind of poked around, hey, who am I? then they would feel, I can see, now, oh, yuck, I'm going to have an on-air confession now. So because because I've not, when one hasn't maybe done that, then they do feel the shake more?
Of course.
Aha.
Because until you've done that, I am my conditions. I am my relationships. I am my job. I am my car. For a lot of people, especially men, I am my job.
Yes.
It's a fascinating fact that most men die within 2 years of retirement.
Yes.
Unless they find something meaningful to do.
Yes.
You know, if they just head out for the gated community in their golf cart, they'll be dead.
Yeah.
Because they're so identified with what they do. It's very natural for men. For women, it's their relationships. She's even got a cat. She'll stay alive. But if she doesn't have relationships, she'll die.
That's right. Those cats are lifesavers.
Those cats are absolutely essential, as you well know.
Yes. Well, I love that you brought up about my mother. My mother is a Bell baby, actually. She worked as a Bell telephone operator, and this is a part of it. And up in here in Canada, you know, GM was like, my hometown was kind of that GM thing, and then it disappeared, and so many people felt lost. Yes. There's such an identity, and even to us, the city's identity, you know, expanded. So now you've got a community. So can we go on that one? The reality of not just self, but community and a physical land space suddenly has, like, I will go to the vortex in Arizona to experience this. Do we need to?
Right.
Is that a reality? Is a vortex a reality? I don't know.
Well, not by my definition, right? I mean, see, we really believe that the experiences we have out in the world, that's a reality. Okay, the vortex is a reality. There's this special energy thing, and it's going to have this particular kind of effect. All right.
Yeah.
To me, to me, the word truth and reality are the same. They are synonymous, which means for me, reality is self-existent. It is eternal, and it's unchanging.
Okay.
Simple as that. So, is it self-existent? Is a vortex self-existent? No. Does it come and go? Yes. It's not real.
Oh.
It is simply an experience in the moment. Now, let me ask you another question. Does the vortex exist if you don't? If there's nobody there to see it.
I'm going to have to say no.
It, No, of course it doesn't. But consciousness has to be there for anything to exist. Existence is a fact, is an aspect of consciousness that is either projected or just kind of showered upon that which is experienced. The experiences come and go, but the consciousness which perceives them doesn't. That's the reality. You are the reality.
It's literally
not the you
it.
You think you are, right? The you think you are identifies with the community, with your work, with your relationships, which is all well and good. Those things, nothing wrong with it. They're all beautiful, right? But they're not you. They come and go.
Right.
And just look at your whole life. Everything in your life has come and gone. The things that meant so much to you 10 years ago, you barely remember them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That thing you wanted so badly, you sold it on eBay.
As I do this right now. That's so funny. But that is absolutely true. Yes. And just because I knew, and as we, because I know we have 1 minute before commercial, I want to say this. Anybody who's listening, this is important. It's not the you who you think you are. And that's the big one I want to return to. And even so, sometimes it can be the reverse. GP, I noticed that I look at my life now that I go, I love this. But then I really, as I've been self-inquiring, I'm like, wow, I actually didn't love this the way I thought I truly did love it when I was little. Like, you just a thing, but now there's a new let's explore that when
it's
we come back.
But the understanding, now.
It's completely
now
different.
It's nostalgia. And, yeah. It's completely different now. But, and you can still love it. But it's a different thing.
It's a different thing, but you can still love it. Okay, that is also something we are so touching on. I love that. So everybody, come on back to the Flow of Enlightenment with GP Walsh and myself, Lisa Berry.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
I'm so not good
I'll
enough.
Fail.
They'll judge me.
I'm afraid
so others
it's
are doing
already
it.
Been done.
Who are you not to fully express who you are, to be your warrior of light and do business from your fierce, aligned energy? I'm Rosalind Fung, host of Activate Your Soulgasmic Business here on Om Times Radio. Let's get your business turned on to the next level. I invite you to hop on a business soul alignment discovery call with me at rosalindfung.com and let's monetize in your soul mission. Go to Rosalyn, F as in fun, UNG.com.
I am Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo.
We were a loving family. And then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day.
People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Ah, welcome back, you guys. We're stepping into the flow. GP, I just had to laugh there. I kind of get away with playing with a cat on the commercial because if you could hear, it sounds like I'm just ringing a nice singing bowl or something. Aww. Oh, as you know, I love how we're doing this. I'm going to invite everybody just to call in if you've got a question. Maybe you've been a part of the tapping group, the 10 Days of Tapping over on the Facebook group, which we're inviting you to, or you would like to be a part of. But also right now, you can call in at 202-570-5000. 7057. And this is a great space to ask all the kind of questions that I ask that are, you know, they just, I'm suddenly just realizing them, or I'm scared, or I'm uncomfortable, or I'm happy, and I, you know, feel these things. So lots comes up. And that question, actually, I wrote it down, well, it's a statement rather. This is all about reality, guys. This is, you know, rated R for reality, because this reality that we are living, to me, seems so sometimes messy or scary or deep or graphic, but it's also what we come to rely on. And there's another word, relying on reality. And are we able to, and here's my, are we able to be, can we sustain our image of ourselves in this reality when we finally understand that reality doesn't exist the way it does?
Well, no. You realize that you don't need an image of yourself. That there's nothing to sustain. I mean, why sustain an illusion, right?
Yes.
You don't need it. The image comes.
Especially a painful one.
It's not who you are. And whether that you think you are is highly functional and successful, or whether you think you're the scum of the earth, neither one is any more true than the other. They're not true. They're not who you are. They're just an image in the mind. And you could tell it's an image in the mind because it's not consistent.
Right.
It comes and goes, which means it can't be real. If it's real, it doesn't come and go. It's just there, right?
Yes. I like those three that you offered up to us. If everybody wants to take notes like I do, that we have this, like, there's this checkpoint to see if this is real or not. Is it self-existent? Is it unchanging? And as well as eternal? And it must be all three. And I like to add, because I learned this one from you, it never stops or starts. It's always true. It's always existed.
Yes.
Yeah, it just doesn't stop or start. I like that one. That was a good one.
It's outside of time.
Right.
When I say eternal, I mean timeless. I don't mean infinite time. Something that just keeps going on and on and on. It isn't in time. It just is. And when you understand that time is nothing more than a relative measurement of events, something which just is not an event. It didn't happen. It didn't start and it didn't stop. It just is. And this is what's so difficult for us to conceive of. Eternity is actually timelessness.
Yes.
It has no time. Because if something doesn't change, it is outside of time. It is immeasurable. And look around. Everything we experience is changing. Matter of fact, the experience itself can't even happen without the change.
Oh,
everything you see, every object, no matter how solid it looks, isn't solid. It's the appearance of tinier things going so fast you can't detect their motion, and it looks as if it's a solid object, but it is just a mountain of constant flux.
Yes.
It's flow.
The flow. Yes, the flow. That's, and you know, I love that. If we could, because I've had the pleasure of having you explain that kind of thing. I love that when you said that about how time is measured. It's between two events. And what I, after you shared that, and I'll have you say that much nicer, is I have a great memory for events, but I measure things all the time. And I just, it kind of clicked for me that I thought, wow, that's why I can remember certain things. People say, when did this happen, or what year was that, or da-da-da, because I think maybe is it because my reality, I'm focused on that experience of the event. I observed that event. I was really emotionally charged in the event. Mm-hmm. And is that why I'm able to measure it maybe more? Well, I don't know. Is
well,
it getting somewhere?
That's why you remember it. I mean, memory itself is kind of an event. It's a reliving of the event in the now. And the things we learn are the things that have emotional impact for us, either negative or positive. We remember our first kiss, and we remember our first heartbreak, and we remember, you know, our first job and the things. I mean, all the things that, you know, are kind of the mitzvahs, right? They're the markers of these events in life are, you know, always they take up a residence, but the meaning they have will change.
Ah, yes. Yes, indeed, they do.
Absolutely.
And that's how we make our life. The meanings change.
And that's how we create our life in the moment and think that it's real.
Oh my goodness. Okay. And is that one practice people should, not should, but people can take up as if they have a negatively charged event, and so that event doesn't change, but they just change the meaning of it? Is that something that we should be controlling and doing?
Well, that's partially what I use EFT for, is to break the association so the event is just a memory and doesn't create suffering. Right? The event itself doesn't create suffering. It's the meaning we've given it. And if that meaning is still there, and that meaning doesn't have to be in your mind. It can be an emotional or even physical association so that there's kind of a recoiling from it, like you're re-experiencing it, you know, a fear or something like that. But you can... But that is an arbitrary thing. It isn't absolute, and the meaning of it isn't absolute. And so that the meaning of it can shift so that it isn't the horrible event anymore. It was just an event that passed through, like all events do. But there's an association that takes place that gives it kind of a continuity that doesn't really have. And that continuity lives in us and in the nervous system, and therefore we re-experience it as if it had just happened.
Yes.
And in fact, there's nothing happening at all. It's gone. It really is gone. And so it's, you know, it's part of the process of disconnecting the reactive pattern to the event, to the memory of the event. So, and without that there's no charge. And now you're free of the past. It doesn't mean the past didn't happen. You don't have to try to rewrite it, which is impossible anyway. You have just taken away all of the negative overhead from it, and it becomes neutral. And now you're free.
I love that. You're not rewriting. You're taking away the charge, the emotional, the programming around it.
Uh-huh.
This is awesome. And now I'm going to dive deep on this on our reality. So say I'm throwing the fireball questions at you. Go. Let's. Somebody has I want to go a little bit, not that this is light in any way, but a lighter. Say somebody's a migraine. They suffer from migraines. So this, is it possible that there's, they've stopped the flow somewhere. There's a tension. There's an energy focused in an area. Is this about taking the emotional charge out of having a migraine?
Well, first off, you can't. If you've eliminated, and I always have to say this because I'm not a doctor, and when it comes to physical pain and things like that, I always recommend that people get it checked out, see if there's anything structurally wrong, right?
Structurally, yes, okay.
Right, is there something wrong in there, you know, that is causing it? If that's not evident, and in a lot of cases in migraines it isn't, because it is energetic, there's nothing there, then you can start looking more deeply. But I would also encourage people to look at their diet, is their environment toxic? Are their relationships toxic? Right? Because a pain like that isn't natural for the body to feel that way. So something's off somewhere, right? You know, a tolerance to things that you really shouldn't be tolerating,
yes.
Self-deprivation or degradation, you shouldn't be allowing yourself to suffer. You can't assume what the actual cause of this is. And if you start looking at it from that point of view, first off, you'll feel empowered. You won't feel helpless, completely crippled by it.
Right.
Because there is always a solution, right? It may not be easy to find, but there is always a solution, and you shouldn't stop till you've exhausted every possibility, and you won't know till you've exhausted every possibility until you have healed it.
Right.
Until it's been healed, you have not exhausted the possibility.
That's a good indication, isn't it?
Yeah. And they said in that movie, the best Marigold Hotel everything will be all right in the end. And if it's not all right, it means it's not the end yet.
Yes, I remember that. Yes.
And so, something like that.
Okay, great. Oh. Thank you. The environment is real then, because we're perceiving it. So if our environment is, I'm unwell, I'm prisoner of this disease or condition or uncomfortableness, pain.
Well, the environment, there's a relationship in the environment, right? It's not the environment is causing it, it's the relationship with the environment.
Oh, perfect.
It's a whole. It's a unified whole. You know, the people who think, I'm just going to change my thinking and everything's going to be okay, are ignoring the fact that they have an interdependence with the environment, right? And if somebody who thinks it's just the environment, I just get out of here and everything's okay, is missing the fact that it's them participating in it. So it's a flow. It's a continuity.
Yes. Oh,
it's a relationship and an interaction. You cannot overlook anything. So I say you look everywhere. It isn't, somebody says, oh, it's me, I'm bringing this migraine on myself. I mean, that really cuts off the whole avenue for true self-discovery and self-exploration, because there's me, but I can't isolate this me, this sense of myself, from my environment. How can I? Mm. I would cease to exist. And the ultimate me, of course, is beyond all that, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about healing the system. Right?
which is
a different thing. We're alleviating suffering. So
I love that, knowing that the reality is possible
in and of itself.
Yes, I'm going to have to write that down as another one. And in the meantime, you know, we do have a reality questioner and a rated questioner caller on the line. So we'll bring them on. And if possible, we'll ask if we can push the commercial a little bit and see where it goes. But let's just, hello, caller.
Hi, it's Sarah calling from France.
Yay!
Sarah!
Hi, G. Okay, I wanted to ask, would it be too complicated to ask you to talk about some techniques for reaching this reality or consciousness, like observing the thoughts and then observing the witness of those thoughts and then going to awareness? But also, I have a second question. If it's easier, for example, to get there through chanting, like using Om, is that being lazy, or should you occasionally try to go back to the steps that you've taught us to keep to keep in shape? And those are two questions.
This is funny. Lovely. This is the woman who just spent 7 years working on her PhD asking me if she's lazy.
I love it. Thank you for being so honest, Sarah. Awesome.
That's not a quality you possess, Sarah, by any stretch of the imagination. There are countless numbers of techniques, and they're all valid. Meditation, and there's all sorts of different kinds of meditation. There's mindfulness meditation, there's affirmative meditation, there's meditation on an object, meditation on breathing, on a flame. There's formless meditation, which is the meditation I do. All sorts of different kinds. And all of them, chanting is the same way, right? Chanting Om or chanting the Heart Sutra, right? Bowing is another practice that I've seen, 108 bows. And I'll tell you, you've got to be in shape to do 108 bows. Dancing, the Sufi dances, the whirling dervishes. These are all meditations. There's walking meditations. And the like, they all have exactly the same goal in mind, and that is to bring one's attention internally. And if the intention, right, is just therapeutic, right, it can be successful. Like, I'm going to meditate to relieve my stress. That's a therapeutic use of it, right, and it's valid. I'm not discounting it. I mean, obviously, I'd rather have somebody relaxed and stressed, right? And if that does it, great. But there's a deeper dimension to it that's also available that goes beyond the therapeutic into the transformational. And if you're in the transformational, you don't need the therapeutic anymore because you're transforming the thing that caused the problem in the first place. So you don't have to worry about the symptoms anymore because you're in the, to the root of it. All of these are paths up the mountain, right? And obviously at the top of the mountain, they all converge. And what do they converge into? Like all rivers eventually end in the ocean. Where do they converge? They converge in the ultimate knowledge of yourself, who you really, really are. That's where they all lead. So it doesn't matter what path you're on, right? And so when you're this, how do you discover reality, right? All of the techniques bring our attention more closely to ourselves. They have a very positive moral effect. They make us more compassionate, more thoughtful, more patient. They make us more equanimous and sincere. They have that effect. You don't have to try to be more compassionate. You'll just become more compassionate. You transcend the law. It's not thou shalt not anymore, right? It's blessed are, right? It's just this natural being. Blessed are the peacemakers. They should be called the children of God. Right? They weren't trying to be called the children of God. they were discovering their own peacemaking, the peacemaker within. Right? And then what then becomes, where do those all lead to? Right? They all lead to that final question of, who am I? Where is this all going to? Where is the transformation leading? Am I nothing but the transforming of one thing into another, into another, into another, into another? Is it just this endless cycle? Or am I something changeless? Is there a reality? And at this point, the idea of reality stops being something external, and it becomes my very soul. What am I seeking? The reality I'm seeking is the reality of me. The me that has no beginning and no end. The me that is not bound by time. The me that is not changing moment to moment, but is aware of the change. And only that which is changeless can be aware of the change. And I think we're probably at a commercial time, and I went a bit on that.
Oh, it was perfect, actually. And Sarah, could you hang on the line for the commercial break and stay with us?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, well, let's go. Let's head on into commercial. And we'll be right back to the Flow of Enlightenment here with GP Walsh and Lisa Berry.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going Om? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers, pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
These are the sounds of a dinner. A dinner that almost didn't happen. A dinner now served, thanks to people like you. Due to COVID-19, 17 million more Americans may face hunger. Feeding America is helping our neighbors in need. And if you're able, you can too. Donations are being accepted at feedingamerica.org/coronavirus. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. tuning in and listening to us live, and hopefully you're catching some replays, we have a caller on the line, and Sarah, you've already asked, well, two questions, and I'm pretty, sometimes it gets so everywhere that I'm like, oh my gosh, we could go a little deeper, but just before we do that, Sarah, if I may, we actually, well, I just met you, but GP knows you because you've been a student, but also tuning into the 10 days of tapping in our group. And if I may, can I just squeeze in a little question on how you're enjoying that and what is just your overall feel of these 10 days so we can invite some other people to catch the last 3 days?
Oh, it's wonderful. I've been with D since 2017. And what he does is he tries to bring you back home to yourself. Mm-hmm. And in doing, he doesn't waste time with working on your small self or your artificial self or in self-improvement. He really takes you home to your soul, to the center of your spirit, to your heart, so it alleviates any problems that you have. And tapping is one of the ways to do it. It gives you the space to go into your heart and into your mind and into your soul. Well, not your small mind, but your perfect mirror mind that is a servant to the true self. And tapping is one of the ways to help you get there. Everything he does is for that. He knows all sorts of different techniques, and they're all he uses them all, and he's very generous. He teaches you how to do them to help you go back home.
Oh, that was absolutely beautiful and totally unscripted, everyone. Sorry. So I just was, that was beautiful. And in that, oh, GP, thank you, both of you, for being here for all of us. And because I was really curious about your question you asked, Sarah, the number one question about the observer and the witness, and that person, the being experiencing reality. Is that, did I kind of clarify that a little bit?
Yeah. But G can do it a lot better than I can.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well,
no.
I'd much rather, instead of talk about it, just do it. Right? Everybody just for a minute stop and notice. Right? There's things going around. There's sensations running through your body. There's thoughts. You know, there's your attention, which is taking in the conversation that's going on here. Right? But also notice simultaneously, there's a presence there that's aware of everything that's happening. Right? It's very subtle, so subtle we walk right by it most of the time because we're so engaged with what we're experiencing that we don't notice the experiencer. And just notice that just that sense of being present never changes. It's always there. That's you. That is the reality I keep referring to. That's the witness. And that's the name. It'll go by the observer, the witness, the seer, right? But it is the unchanging reality. Reality is not a concept. We're going to understand reality, which really means our mind's going to build some model that we all agree with. That's not the reality. The reality is the one looking at it. Because how could anything be designated as this is real? Who can say that it's real, except the one who's real? So if what isn't real is saying, oh, that's real, that's not really trustworthy. What can say you are except that which is? And that's you. I mean, it's that simple. Mm-hmm. It's you. Not the you think you are, but the you that's looking at all the thoughts you have about who you think you are.
So the reality, I love that. The reality is the one who is looking at it. And that... Well, that was a big one for me. Sarah, does that help you with the question that you asked?
Yeah, it does. it does, because I want him to explain that to everybody. I've been with him for quite a while, and everyone in the tapping, we know this. Because he's very good helping you attain awareness.
She is really good at this. And I've been around. I have gone to everybody and spent a lot of money. And she is very good.
Oh, well, Sarah, thank you so much for calling in and asking in our reality show here.
It's a pleasure. Sarah. Thank you very much for your reception. Okay, bye-bye.
Oh, thank you. Oh, GP, such wonderful students. And I've just only met you a few months ago, so I can only, you know, I'm just looking at my life, oh my gosh, my whole world is flipped upside down, and in a good way, but
it's true.
Yes.
Like the upside down cake. It still tastes really good.
Yes. I love that. In our final, you know, 10 minutes here, I just, you know, there are one question I really wanted to get you, because this was asked on the show. And you had mentioned, I love that we brought in the essence of time and timeless and timelessness, because, and space, of course. Big question that came in earlier about realities. Are there alternate realities?
Well, absolutely. You're living one right now. Everybody is. Everybody's got their own.
Yeah, right? Actually, that's true.
People are trying to imagine, they're imagining other dimension where there's other beings, right? And 30,000-year-old ascended masters and all of that kind of stuff. And yet you're constantly walking through what you call reality. I don't care if it's a 30,000-year-old master. I don't care if the most magnificent being in the universe comes and visits you. It will still be an experience you had that comes and goes. It won't be you. Reality must be that which doesn't come and go. If these other dimensions come and go, or my experience of them comes and go, they are not real. That is not, they are not the ultimate truth. The ultimate truth must be that which does not come and go. Where do you look for that? Well, you look for it in the only place you've ever experienced that doesn't come and go, and that's yourself. Hmm. Every experience you've ever had isn't here anymore, is it?
Correct,
you saw
right?
God,
yes.
Right? It's yes. Not here anymore, is it? Right?
But so it wasn't
you were
real?
There. Oh. You were there before that experience happened. You watched it happen. You watched it go away. So who's real in that?
Oh.
The experience or you? We don't want to accept the obvious fact, you are the reality.
Right. Yes, I'm getting that. You know, oh, that's so neat. When you said about the come and go, and then I was literally going to say, wait a second, I get it when people say, it was a dream, it wasn't real.
Yes. It doesn't mean it isn't a powerful, beautiful, valuable experience.
Right.
But it's not the reality. Right?
Yes.
Because there is no experience without the experiencer.
And if we give the power to the wrong side, not the wrong side, but if we give the power to the experience, I don't mean power, but if we give the belief to the experience as opposed to the experiencer, we become powerless.
Yes. Yes. And it's subtle, but it's extremely important, because we give our happiness to the experience.
Oh.
When we give our happiness to the experience, our happiness comes and goes.
Oh my gosh.
But our happiness isn't in the experience. That's the reality that is you, that you've projected on the experience. And it's that projection that has made the experience so important that you want to hold on to it.
Yes.
The experience without that is just an experience. Beautiful, wonderful, uplifting, sometimes not so much, so difficult, you know, trying.
Yeah.
Right? They all come and go. But what we think is that when that peak experience goes, where I had this great ecstatic moment, that my happiness is gone. And there's the problem.
Yes. Oh, GP, you have to say this. You just reminded me, I used to love Bruce Springsteen. Well, still do. And but I remember Glory Days. And I would hear that and I think, I like the song, I like the beat, and I hear what he's saying. But for some reason, this happiness of Glory Days is making me so freaking sad, because he's he's now sad. He's given up. And you just totally, we said that we give our happiness to the experience. And I think a lot of us, I remember being in the dating different fellas and they're like, oh, they talk to their buddies. You remember the good old days when we did this, we played baseball, we played this and this sport or that. But they go, ah, we're never going to have those days again. And you think, oh my gosh, like it was just so sad. And we do that a lot. Like that's, I think what you said was perfect. We give our happiness to our experience.
We turn our happiness, which is an eternal quality, an eternal perfume of reality, we give it to an experience and turn it into something that has a beginning and an end.
Yes.
And so now the experience owns my happiness and I end up seeking happiness. Not knowing what I'm trying to do is to recreate something to give me an experience of what I call happiness, all the while completely unaware that I am the very thing I've been projecting on it. That it's there because I projected it on it. It doesn't possess any happiness. It doesn't possess any quality whatsoever except the quality that I project on it, which means I turn myself around and I start looking at the projector. Where's it coming from? And that's the whole structure of the illusion that the sustained suffering.
Oh,
you
yes.
are the very thing you think is in the experience. When that is discovered, the experience can come and go. It's a wonderful thing to enjoy, but you have no attachment to it.
Yes. Oh, for some reason, it just felt almost relieving to hear what I heard, what I interpreted, that we are sustaining the suffering by giving that power to the experience. And that was a big one. And to, you know, this hour goes by so darn fast. So what I want to do, because we only have like 3 or 4 minutes. First of all, allow me to do a quick invitation. Once again, I know I'm on this because there's only 3 days left. And you know what, through the 10 days of tapping, we have really had some people who have been with us from day one who have, you can feel they're like, oh no, it's going to end. What will I do? And I know that, you know, something. So I do want to make that invitation to those who, if you can't hop on with us, we've got 3 days left. GP, just, you know, for a full-blown hour is just, yes, he's tapping for absolutely, but there's lessons and teachings and question answering around this. It's free, you know, join the Facebook group and do that, or meet us on the newly launched website at gpwalsh.com. Right. We'll let you know where to go. You can also get a free
grand opening yet.
No, this is the soft one. This is the soft launch. And, and we'll send you over there to get a free meditation of yours as well. And I love that you mentioned that. What I find, everybody, if this is just so incredible, I call it the formless meditation. GP, I love that you like that. And that's good, because when we remove that form, we literally, I feel like we give all power back to the self. And so we're inviting you to, yes, gpwalsh.com. We're inviting you to the Facebook private group. So you just got to ask permission to join us. And that's GP Walsh Spiritual Teacher. And finally, my closing off question, because I can give you a few minutes on this one. When it comes to reality, that perception of reality, if somebody is currently in the middle of, they don't know anything about self-inquiry, non-duality, meditation, they're running around and they stumbled across this episode and they said, I don't like my reality and I'm going to change it, and they don't know where to start, where and how could they start right now?
Well, in a very real sense, they've already started, right? Just the fact you say, I don't like this reality, I want to change it, even though there's still ignorance there, is not sure where the cause is, just the very fact of that dissatisfaction with it is an indication of some degree of awakening that's already taken place. Because otherwise, you weren't aware of the dissatisfaction. The dissatisfaction is always there. That's the nature of the human condition. Right. Whenever we're looking outside of ourselves for anything, there is going to be the feeling of dissatisfaction. Sometimes it can be intense suffering. Sometimes it can just be a mild discontent. But becoming aware of it and then say, oh, God, I really got to do something about it, that's actually the first step. You've already done it. Now, what's going to happen is that you're going to be without even trying, you know, you've already given the command to your nervous system to start looking for a solution. and it will. Right? Now, it will find solutions usually that are within the context it already knows. Right? And it'll be self-help, personal development. I'm going to try to change my thoughts. I'm going to read this book. I'm going to do these kinds of things. And that's fine, right? But if you're listening to this show, all I can say is there's a better way. It's not only better, it's faster.
Yay! Better, faster, cheaper!
Bigger, faster, cheaper. You get all three. It has no detours. It is the absolute direct path. It is the quickest way home. And that's why I like it. That's why I teach it. That's why I do it. Because I'm lazy. I don't want to spend a lot of time doing other stuff.
No, and thank you, Sarah, for asking that and commenting that. It's GP does help you find your way home, and it's the fastest, and we're lazy. So come on over to gpwalsh.com. We'll see you there. And next week on Tuesday on The Flow of Enlightenment here on Om Times Radio with GP Walsh and myself, Lisa Berry. Thank you so much, GP.